win. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Ooga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 77 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, October 18th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about the Wild's Western road trip, extra time hockey, and drinking too much. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Good evening.
And how's it going for you guys right now?
Brains.
We're doing
brains.
Good.
I want to kill every zombie I see, and it's not because of The Walking Dead.
Which, they just had new episode 2 today, didn't they?
Yeah, the new season. That is correct.
Zombies are Walking Dead, so what is it then?
No, so what's your beef with zombies here?
No, not the real zombies. The real zombies seem to be okay so far. It's all the people it's all the wannabe zombies from suburbia that don't know how to control themselves.
The zombie posers.
Yeah.
Drunk zombies.
Drunk zombies.
Okay.
Because you can't just bash them in the head and get away with it.
So basically, a.k.a. a-holes.
Yes. In mass quantities.
Maybe you
in
could.
In the same location.
Maybe you could bash him in the head and get away with it, though.
Possibly.
I thought it was the apocalypse.
Well, or you can just go, that's not really blood. That's just their makeup.
The crazy thing is there were a few ambulance calls, and it's like, how do they know which one's the real blood and which one's the fake blood?
Just hose them off.
Hosers.
Hosers. Well, you know, before we get too far into things here and talk too much about zombies, I'd just like to remind you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box, and we live tweet games when we can. And check it out.
When there's stuff to live tweet.
Yeah,
tonight was a little slow.
Yeah, it happens from time to time where it's a game where it's just like nothing's happening. But since we're talking about games, let's get into it. Let's talk about the week at hand here, right?
So the Wild Mild West, the first West Coast road trip ends up netting the Wild 3 out of a possible 6 points in the standings. Now, the first 5 games, we still have not seen a Wild dominant game. It was close against Arizona, but third period turtling dictated differently. An OT loss to the Kings after a sloppy first second period and bad puck luck against Anaheim closed out this road trip. So one thing we did get to see, though, against L.A. was our first look at Kemper this year. Has that his play at all changed opinions on where you think he'll be standing with the team or the whole goalie situation in general?
Doesn't change my opinion of where he is with the team. I mean, honestly, I mean, he looked, you know, a little bit stronger in his start than, I must say, Dubnyk has, who's been a little, you know, so-so, not what we've come to expect from Dubnyk. Right. But, I still think that Dubs is our solid number one starter. And, I mean, we've got Kemper as our go-to guy to back him up. So I don't think my opinion on where he's at has changed at all.
Well, and the thing is that, Dubnyk's here for a long time.
Yep.
He's going to be our number one. Unless the wheels fall off the bus, I don't know where Kemper really stands there.
Well, not
he doesn't have a place in this team. So long term, so you might as well play him while you can now to showcase him. You know, hopefully find some suitors where we can make a deal. Maybe bring in some people that we might need some physicality that we're sorely lacking right now. And, you know, having Kemper get out there and play well, it's really a good thing for the Wild.
Absolutely. And I guess that's more where I was trying to go with this is, I mean, you think they're going to play him like this, and if he keeps playing like this, he's going to end up being good trade bait.
Well, he definitely could be good trade bait, but I don't even know that the Wild are ready to dish him away at this point yet.
Well, we're gonna have to dish somebody away having three goalies right now.
Right.
Still, I mean, and are we gonna see them play Backstrom coming up?
I don't know that we will see Backstrom.
Because we do have another back-to-back actually coming up next weekend, this Saturday, Sunday. So we're probably going to see either Kemper or Backstrom would be my guess. You think they're going to stick with Kemper?
Yeah, I'm going to say they're going to stick with Kemper. Yeah. You know, I got to here's how I see things playing out. If the Wild can move Kemper and get some good return from during the season, great. And we'll just roll the dice with Backstrom being the backup. But, you know, the Wild have got some young goalies that are kind of sitting out there. They're not really ready yet, but, you know, so giving them a year of, you know, some sort of weird Kemper Backstrom backup, you know, thing, I think will work for the Wild in the long term because we're going to need another backup.
Yeah.
You know, and traditionally the way things work is your backup is a kid who's waiting there. Or has been waiting. You know, sometimes it might be a guy who's, you know, bounced around a little bit, you know. But you've got a kid that's waiting for those moments. And right now we've got a kid who's waiting for those moments, kind of, but he's never going to have his moment because we've got a long-term goalie in place. And you got Backstrom, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to figure that they'll, if they can move Kemper and get something good for him, they will. But they're in no rush, you know. The only thing that's hurting them is that it limits their healthy scratch options, right. You know.
Eats up a spot.
It eats up money. But, you know, we're not going to be able to trade Backstrom, I don't think, at this point.
But then again, we're not in a situation, though, like we were last year, where we were scrambling around to have somebody.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Gosh, we're only at game five.
That's very true. Which is why, you know, at this point, I don't think three goalies is the biggest problem that the Wild have.
Do you think they're going to keep Backstrom just cold until we actually need him?
I think you got to. I mean, Backstrom is not adding anything to this team at this point, right? He really isn't. And
I mean, there's only two ends to a rink for practice, and you got three goalies.
And if you can't do, you can't move him. You might as well play the goalie that you might be able to move and that you have a better chance to win with. Backstrom, I don't see him getting any ice time unless there's an injury. I just don't see it.
Maybe they're trying to get him to quit.
All right, worst case scenario, Kemper gets hurt for whatever reason, you know, breaks a foot.
Kicks a wall,
breaks a foot.
He's walking down the hallway and
Backstrom slashes his foot with his paddle.
Yeah, Harding shows up. Tanya Harding.
With a billy. Well, she didn't actually do it. She hired a gun to do it.
Yeah, Jeff Galooly.
So Kemper happens to be out. We got a back-to-back situation. Do they rest Dubnyk a game and put Backstrom in?
Probably. I mean, he's you know, he's basically John Curry, except he's not getting any time playing, you know, from last year.
All right.
I mean, he played better in the preseason this year.
Absolutely.
But it's
also preseason, so who knows what you're up against.
Right. You're not necessarily playing against the A squad in any game. So I don't know. I'm going with Backstrom isn't going to see much time, and we're going to play Kemper, and if we can trade him, great. If we can't, great too, because that means we're probably winning. So
is he going to be reserved? Kemper now, is he just going to be reserved for the back-to-back games, or do you see him coming in on some other random games?
I mean, there's plenty of back-to-back games.
There's a lot coming up. I think in the next 2 weeks we have two sets of back-to-backs.
Yeah, but like,
and there's a lot of hockey to be played. There isn't one goalie in the NHL these days that plays, you know,
80
games or 70 games for that, really, you know.
70 games is, like, you know, reserved for, like, Carey Price, you know.
Somebody who is an old school, full-on number one goalie.
Right.
Which he's been playing out of his mind. And I think Winnipeg is the only team that has not lost yet.
But actually, it's a good point that, you know, actually accidentally bringing up Price is that, you know, Dubnyk hasn't had a very good start. And he's struggled in all the games he's played in right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at his stat line, it looks very similar
to Price's.
To Price's stat line last year.
Oh.
And we know how Price's season ended up.
Well, right.
You know, he wins the Hart and the Vezina, you know. So I don't think it's a death knell that Dubnyk's had a rough start.
No.
You know, I think it's just a matter of getting...
It's how you deal with that, too, you know.
Right.
I mean, everybody's going to have off days, and, you know, he's coming off of, you know, getting a big payday, a big contract, you know. So,
well, so, you know, with that, I mean, you know, everybody does have an off day. We had this road trip. The first game was against a team that was also undefeated, so somebody was going to lose. And then we played two teams that had not won a game yet. I mean, do you think that I mean, I would have to say that that's something to factor in.
And we're on the road.
And we're on the road.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, those are two teams that are expected to win. And
traditionally, the Wilds have had tough times against them, yes, as well.
And I guess compared to previous times, I don't feel that any of our games on this West Coast trip were we outplayed or outmatched.
You know, on a period-to-period basis, maybe not. But, you know, game over the whole game, we weren't just, like, getting beat down the entire game.
Right.
There was opportunities, there was chances.
Yep.
There was crossbars.
You know, plenty of pipe getting hit there, you know.
They were hitting the pipe.
Where's that? That's maybe what she said,
button. Maybe that's the problem, is that they were hitting the pipe.
Did they get the mumps again?
Oh, that's still to be seen, you know. I'm not sure what the incubation period is for the mumps, but we'll see.
So, Aaron, you brought up a good point, though. You know, the Wild, we haven't seen a full dominating game yet from them, all three periods. What do you think it's going to take for them to actually get to that point? Or is that even possible to dominate all three periods of a game? I mean, we've seen them dominate in one and two and then kind of turtle on three. We've seen them get kind of handed to them one and two and then come back and play solid in three.
Right.
Well, there's always going to be peaks and valleys and ups and downs to a game. And, you know, momentum's going to switch this way and switch that way. But it's how you deal with that. And I think that overall, I think the Wild are, you know, playing well to that point that, you know, just because it's the third period and they're down, what, 4-1, you know, they're not considering themselves out at that point. You
right.
know? They're going to definitely bring it.
And that's so, the same with L.A.
Yeah,
because the first two periods looked really sloppy, and
right.
then the third period came around, and bam.
And sometimes sloppy can just be that the puck's not bouncing your way. And sometimes to get some of that puck luck, you just have to keep working and working. So,
but how much of it is, you know, you look at the Arizona game, how much of it is where we just don't have a physical presence, you know, where we can't just sit there and you know, kind of grind them down.
We're definitely not a team that's going to be able to go out there and grind it out.
Well, especially when you got a lead, though. You want some guys that can, you know, wear out their skaters, and we can't do that.
Well, and, you know, the Arizona game was the first of a back-to-back where they're in L.A. the next day. Do you think part of that might have been just trying to reserve some energy to go for playing against L.A. on the following day?
I mean, maybe, but the problem is that they didn't. I mean, they still got worn out because they got, you know, Domi, Max Domi's.
Oh, he was just.
You know, he's running all over the place. And, you know, if you can't contain this youthful speed, you know, or at least, you know, knock him down a level, we never really put it out of reach. We thought we did, but we didn't.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's just the brand of hockey, I guess, that the Wild, you know, have built their team for right now is, you know, the young, the speed, you know, we do have a little bit of size, but not size that's, you know, taking advantage of size to slow down the opponent. It's more of a finesse game for the Wild.
Well, that now would say that our D hasn't really been the shutdown D that they have in the past.
We've seen a few line changes now.
We've seen some line changes. I don't think Dumba's actually looked very good. He's looked like kind of lost, I think, in a lot of the games here.
I totally agree. I mean, missing opportunities on shots and just bad passes.
And the bad passes go beyond him. I mean,
no, this is true.
You know, the LA game has so many passes in the skates. And it's like, and we even saw it tonight with the Ducks. It was, you know, pass to the skates, pass the skates. And you got players reaching to their backside trying to grab, you know, the puck with their stick, and they're way past it. You know, it's they need to do some passing drills because they're suffering very badly right now.
Which is weird because, I mean, we've seen just the opposite earlier this year where it's like, I think mainly a lot with the first line and with the second line too, just clean, crisp, cross-ice passes that you're not used to seeing, you know.
Right.
Like, you'd see them every now and again, but it seemed like it was like 90% of them are just connecting with where they wanted to. And it's like, all right, cool, this is what we need. And then you get into, you know, these games against LA and Anaheim, and it's like, what
happened?
What happened?
Right.
A lot of that stuff can, you know, be partially, though, too, what your opponent does. I mean, if your opponent is getting in the lanes and you know, taking away those nice clean lanes you have to make passes, you've got to get creative. And, you know, sometimes it is the bouncing puck behind that, you know, somebody's going to have to be able to take control of. And I mean, you know, we got, these are all NHL teams now out there. If you're referring back to like the preseason, like you said, you know, some nights we're going to against JV squads. So, you know, our passing percentages then aren't necessarily going to, you know, flow over into the regular season. And really, it, you know, it's two NHL teams that come to play every day, and there's a reason they play the games, and it's going to happen where, you know, all the passes aren't going to be clean and all the passes aren't going to be crisp, but it's, you know, what you make of your opportunities when you do get them.
Right.
So,
well, you know, speaking of these games, with the game against the Kings, we finally got to see 3-on-3 action in a real game time situation that actually counted for something
that we could enjoy and not just see two other teams go at it.
Right. Well, frankly, I don't think it disappointed. You know, there's so much open ice that we got to see. We got to see our faster players, our more skilled guys, try to work around the Kings. Even though the outcome wasn't great, you know, we still got the overtime loss. I felt it was a ton of fun to watch. So, you know, what are you guys' opinions after getting to see, you know, 2 minutes and change of 3-on-3 hockey?
I loved it. I mean, it was, like you say, it's exciting. There's, you know, plenty of chances and opportunities with the ice being as wide open as it is.
Right.
And a single mistake by a single player when it's one out of three players is a lot greater of an impact than it's when it's one out of five players.
Right.
So, like those errors get exposed and, you know, they create chances. And yeah, with that open ice, I mean, it's, I agree. I think it's a very exciting and, yeah, fun to watch.
I liked it. You know, especially seeing the pass to the goalie, which is, you know, normally
that was just weird.
You don't, that's not something you expect to see in a hockey game, like, you know, your guy intentionally putting it on net on your end.
Right.
But you know, it did open up a lot, and you know, Jiva, you're right. I mean, the small mistakes are no longer small mistakes. Like, I mean, they can greatly impact, and I mean, it was a lot of...
You don't want to have two of your attackers trapped behind the net.
Oh, definitely not, because that makes for a very fast 2 or 3 on 1 situation.
Right.
And, you know, it's not something, obviously, you want happening. But, you know, it was nice actually seeing some guys skate around. You know, Granlund had you know, just a couple of shots where it was almost more like a breakaway type situation. And honestly, if it's this or 4-on-4, I'll take this any day.
Right.
I think the 4-on-4 is just it. If they're gonna, you know, if the NHL decides to go back to 4-on-4 for whatever reason, they don't think this works out. I think they have to make it at least a 10-minute. I don't in a 5-minute time frame. I don't think that's enough to be able to judge that. So I think going down to 3-on-3, definitely. I mean, if it avoids shootouts, I'll be ecstatic. I mean, if we see less of them,
well, you're gonna see 5 minutes of really fun hockey until
fast and skilled players.
Right, and that's another thing is you don't see the you know, the porters on the ice or you know the
clouds.
You don't, but but at the same time, that covering all that ice is also exhausting for the players that are out there. So you don't want to get stuck on the ice, you know, for more than a 45-second shift when you're when you're covering all that that amount of ice. I mean, that's another thing is the amount of fatigue that the players take on per shift.
Oh, no doubt,
is increased, and you know it's easy to get winded and you get beat.
Oh, you got to figure that teams that you know are primarily rely on dump and chase, they're just going to get. They're going to get beat up because it's like
you can't dump and chase.
No, you need to carry that in because you've got plenty of room to carry it in, and you know, you just trying to. I saw it with the Wild, you know, when they were even working behind Dubnyk or not Dubnyk,
Kemper
is that you know they'd ring it around the boards, and if a puck gets away from you, you have to go chase it down because you don't have another guy right next to you. You know, the three of you, not including. Your goalie, you know, you're usually pretty far spread out in those situations, and because you know, you might have a D man that's you know cheating back a little bit because you don't want to get burnt, you know, on a breakaway. So you're never really that close. So it's not just a matter of a little quick dump off, you know, here or there. It's got to be long, quick, succinct passes.
And you guys keep mentioning the goalies. I mean, you know. A goalie in this situation can become like a fourth man.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe it helps the Wild having someone like Dubnyk,
yeah,
who's willing to play the fucking, you know,
right.
Usually can handle himself all right.
Yeah. I mean, what's it going to hurt if, you know, you got a goalie that can actually, like, move it up a little bit and then make a pass. He becomes a fourth man. It's like 4-on-3 then.
A little bit, but you also have to be careful on how far out you are because it's not like that goalie can skate backwards as fast as as those forwards can skate forward. I mean, one little mistake and that's a wide open net right there.
They just have to dive.
Speaking of wide open net, how soon before Waugh pulls his goalie in OT?
Well, you probably won't, though, because if you pull your goalie in OT and you lose...
Oh, you don't get the point.
You don't get the bonus point.
That's right.
So he may not do that, actually. I'm actually more concerned, though, if the Wild decide to move Kemper or get a good deal to move Kemper. Backstrom there. Backstrom's not a good...
Oh, boy.
He's not a good puck handler. We know how well he does on breakaways and in shootout situations. I got to think the Wild are screwed if we get to a 3-on-3 with.
Well, then they can pull them and play four players.
Put Spurgeon in the net.
There you go.
Or maybe it's even a time where they would go, okay, dude, Nick, you're coming in for OT.
Yeah.
Put him in cold, you know.
Bring in the reliever.
Bring in the lefty. Right, the righty.
You know, so speaking of, substitutions. What would you have done differently with the line? Would you have done anything different than with the lines that Yo put out there? He had Granlund, Parisi, Suter as one line. He had Koivu, Zucker, Spurgeon as another, and then Vanek, Scandella, and Dumba. That went a little different with 2D-men on that one. Is there any way you would switch it up, or is there a guy that's your top three lines? Is there a guy that should be in the top three that's not there?
The one thing I would have done, and maybe. It's who Vanek is getting matched up with in the faceoff dot, but I probably would have put another center in there rather than having Vanek in. And Vanek's been playing solid this year, so right. it's in the last game or so, he hasn't looked so hot, but everybody has an off day.
Right. No one's looked very hot, to be honest.
This is true. But, I mean, you know, the way he's been playing, I think, great winger. I would have maybe put in possibly Holla.
That's I guess, what I was thinking. You know, I kind of agree with you right there. You know, Holla with some speed.
And Scandella.
And he can win draws, you know.
You know, so. Dumba's got a little pep in his step, too, when he needs to. So, I mean, putting Holla with him could make for a great breakout situation. And you'd have basically a center who's used to playing two-way, a D who's used to playing down farther, both that have a little bit of speed to them.
And I do think they were in the middle of a change on the game-winning goal. So you got to figure it and Pominville was on the ice. So you got to figure we would have a fourth line with Pominville and two other guys.
I'm thinking Nino would be
a good choice, and then someone probably a D man,
Brodine maybe. Or would it leave Dumba out there? I don't know.
You move Suter back in then, I guess. You know, that'd be an option too.
Yeah, he got his 30-second rest.
Actually, his playing time has been down this year. I think he's averaging like 25 minutes a game now.
That's not too bad. Hopefully it helps him out. I mean, I don't think with our current D squad that we need to have him play 30-plus minutes a game anymore.
Definitely not. I think we're definitely strong in the defensive ranks. I mean, right now Yo is doing some shuffling around of those defensive pairings, but I mean, really overall, I think we've got good depth, and once we find, you know, our wheelhouse where, you know, we've got our solid pairings, I think that things will be good for them.
So, well, you could always toss in Brodine or Follin, I guess. But Brodine would probably be pretty solid, you know, as your D-man.
Mm-hmm. Follin, I haven't been too impressed with his play so far this year.
He's been all right. I mean, it hasn't been that bad, but you got to figure Brodine's going to come in before, because he's almost like a little suitor, you know.
Well, which would make sense, being that he was... Well, he's currently locked up with him again.
For now.
But he was ending the season, too. So, I mean, I would imagine that a lot of Suter's style of play, you know, just being linemates with him is going to rub off on him a little bit.
Well, not necessarily, but he's definitely a stay-at-home defenseman more so than... I mean, aside from the one moment tonight where we saw him go real deep in there, but he's usually, you know, a little more... He's a defensive defenseman, you know.
So I don't know, Aaron. I don't know if we got. Did we get your opinion on that? On who you'd swap out?
No, that's a good question. I would probably say, I think Nino's missing.
Yeah. Which he could have been in that line change with Pominville.
Yeah.
I think it is an El Nino this year, so.
I think we should
have him in there.
I can't argue too much with the way Yo seems to be constructing things, where you've got more of a skilled guy and more of a physical guy matched up with a defenseman. So I can't argue too much with that. The Vanek Scandella Dumba line is a little weird.
I didn't see, because that would have been out there with, was that Doughty Kopitar?
No, this would have been.
No, that would have been.
This would have been at the end of the game. This is right before. The goal would have been given up, and then
who was on the I guess depending on who was out there for LA at that point. I mean, if he was looking for more of a defensive minded crew to shut down some guys.
So when they were out there, you're not too far off. You had Kopitar on there. You had Tanner Pearson, and you had Muzzin.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, Muzzin would have been the 1D.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, at that point, maybe Yo was looking at shutting down Kopitar, which, I mean, we've seen Kopitar hot in the past years.
And the coaches, I mean, this is new to them, too. So,
right.
You know, you got to think they're kind of feeling their way out through all this as well.
Well, I don't even know how much you can really go, oh, they've got them on the ice, let's get you guys on the ice, because things are happening so damn fast with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? You got to figure it's going to be tough even for coaches to react to you know, ice changes like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, and at that point, you're not really changing. Can you really get a whole line change? I mean, it's
almost not. You got to have one guy pushing in deep and
right.
Yeah, let the other two switch off, and hopefully on the way back, the other two can switch, or the other guy can switch on the fly,
or one at a time.
And they're long changes too, so it makes things very complicated, and yep. I don't know. It makes for really fun watchable hockey.
I think I can actually give Bettman an A on this one.
He didn't come up with it. Someone else. Someone.
No,
smart.
But he would have had to approve it, right?
Bettman, the Mark Zuckerberg of NHL, stealing other people's ideas. Right?
Where's the dislike button?
I was thinking he's more like the Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
No, because no one likes Bettman. No.
So nobody really likes Steve Jobs either, though. At least not in the company.
Not in the company, but he was well liked amongst the
commoners.
Yes.
Wasn't there like
no one likes Bettman, though? That's the problem,
right?
There are people that like Steve Jobs and think he's some sort of deity. No
so
one's
is
going
more like the Donald Trump of.
Well, somebody apparently likes Trump.
Yeah, people like Trump too. So
Hitler. I don't. Even Germans don't like Hitler anymore.
So are you saying even Hitler had some good ideas?
Well, he did get Germany out of the recession or out of their depression pretty fast.
And I think it's time to move
actually,
on.
Hitler
speaking
had,
of bad...
Hitler had one good idea, and he screwed it up for everybody. The mustache.
The mustache, see?
Well, speaking of bad decisions...
Bad decisions. Yeah, we'll move to some off-ice topics here. The Wild assistant coach, Daryl Sador... over this last week here, he did plead guilty to the charges that he was driving drunk with his 12-year-old son in the car. The judge did sentence him to 60 days in jail, but those 60 days are to be served over the course of 4 years in installments. So, and basically then they also said, the judge also gave the out there that if Sador is complying with his probation guidelines that the future jail time can be waived.
But if he fails, he could actually even get up to a full year, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there's... I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, is it... What do you think about his punishment? Is it too harsh, too lenient, or, you know, I mean...
It's pretty fitting.
Pretty fitting?
For what it is. He was charged with a gross, or was it a felon? It was gross.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing that got talked down, because I thought anything with a minor in the vehicle was an automatic felony, but I could be wrong on that.
I think it becomes an automatic gross.
Right. Automatic gross, because he's got another... thing on top of it, basically neglect.
But, you know, as far as, you know, 60 days, you know, probably be about right. And then, you know, the fact that the judge had sentenced it out over 4 years, you know, I guess that's probably something that his lawyer had talked, you know, had bargained with just because of work scheduling
nature
and what nature of the job. I mean, you know, doing 60 days in a row is going to be kind of rough.
Right. Yeah. Well, it, you know, I don't think that he got a different punishment than anyone else getting a DWI in Minnesota with a minor in the car would get. So I don't really...
Sentencing might have been a little bit different, but I mean, any lawyer can talk that sentencing to work with, you know, courts don't really want you to lose your job and just basically go downward spiral with it. It's supposed to be a rehabilitation type punishment.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, how can you continue to rehab if you can't afford it? No job.
So, then you lose your job and you start drinking some more and
downward spiral all over again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, it probably also helped that he checked himself in the rehab right away.
Yeah.
Started going through all that.
Yeah. I guess personally, I think that it's a little bit lenient, maybe.
But that, I think that's more on the state laws.
Yeah.
It says more about the state laws, I think, than it does really about his case.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, there's sentencing guidelines that the judges have to go by. Yeah. Obviously, there's a max and there's a minimum, but there's still guidelines based upon prior offenses and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, unfortunate that it involved having his, you know, 12-year-old son in the car. That's the kicker for me. But I guess, really, when you think about it, you know, whether the 12-year-old is in the car with you or if the 12-year-old is in another car and you're driving, so what's the difference, really, then, you know?
What was his BAC?
It was 0.30.
Wow, which that should have been a gross. Actually, I think that should have been a felony right off the bat.
No, I think it had two that got him to a gross, and that was the minor and his BAC. But I don't think it was a felony.
Well, because anything think over that the law just changed in August. I want to say
I thought anything over double was an automatic gross, and then having the minor on there should have been another factor involved with it.
Do two grosses make a felony?
No, but it would add to the circumstances that would adjust the severity.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Aaron, you shared the video with us earlier this week of the dash cam footage from the
cop that pulled over to the door.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't say that I am an angel,
right?
But yeah, he definitely
that's pretty. Let's put it this way: it's pretty early in the day. You know, it was what, 5 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah,
something like that. He's got his kid in the vehicle,
going to hockey.
I mean, it was a bad choice. You know.
Very poor choice.
You know, he wasn't walking straight, but for 0.30, I mean, I'm surprised he was still standing.
Surprised he is still upright.
Yeah.
Not very well upright, though.
No, he was struggling a little.
I mean, he didn't even get the first step in on the walk in the line there.
But, no, he didn't.
So, I mean, you know, we wish everybody all parts the best, but, you know, what do you guys think Sador's future with the Wild is? And, I mean, I know they've said that, you know, he still has a position with the Wild right now, but he needs to take care of.
I don't even know if they said that he has a position. They said we'll figure it out
after he takes care of.
Basically, they said that they weren't canning him right then and there.
Right. Yeah. They probably wouldn't have had. You would have figured if they didn't want to keep him around, they would not have released a joint press release. And they did that on their site. And maybe so I got to figure he's going to still be here when it comes time to he's rehabilitated, presuming he can get through it.
Yeah.
You know, I got to figure he's still got a job here.
And I'd have to agree with that. I'm guessing, though, that his position with the Wild may change, that, you know, it might be in a little less capacity than being an assistant coach. I mean, maybe he'll just, you know, do something more locally here for the Wild and, you know.
Well, he's
keep it off the road. I mean, that's, you know, the road's a, you know,
maybe
a that different was a, place.
Maybe that was a problem with Healy when he was here, is that Sador was his, like, mentor.
Are they going to let him back? Is he going to be able to go to Canada?
I don't know.
Is he a Canadian? Was he a Canadian citizen?
Yes.
So if he's born in, well, depending on what his citizenship is, I guess.
His citizenship is probably here now, though.
Like, he probably has dual.
I'm guessing would dual because his wife was in Canada when it happened, visiting that's family.
True,
right?
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's probably safe, but he probably can't drive in Canada.
So that's still just kind of crazy. Like, you can go visit another country, essentially get what Canada would consider a felony in another country, and then come back as much as you want.
Well, it would be like if, but it,
I suppose it'd be like, you know, going to another country, getting a felony, and then the U.S. would probably take us back in, maybe.
Right. Well, you can't just be a person without a country. I mean, your country basically has to take you back. Granted, they could throw you in prison if they wanted to, I guess.
What was the name of that movie? No Our Country for Old Men?
Is no. That
what it was?
No,
that, no that, Country for Old Men. We could potentially be no. We could be old men with no country.
No, there was one where the guy was stuck in the airport, though. Because something.
I thought it was just a crazy homeless guy.
No, it was based off a true story.
Yeah, but I thought it was about a crazy homeless guy.
I haven't seen it.
Tom Hanks movie you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, where essentially he couldn't, for some reason, like with visas and passports, got all screwed up, but it. He couldn't go to any country, so he had to live in the airport.
the terminal.
The terminal, yeah. How bad would that suck? You know how expensive an airport is anyways? I mean, you can't get a job there.
Well, yeah, you can't get a job.
And even if you got a job at the airport, it's not going to pay as much as they're charging you for everything.
Right.
But if you're someone like Larry Craig, you know, maybe you just want to hang out at the MSP airport all day and
tap leg, tap.
Play footsie, you know.
Tap, tap, tap.
So.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, Suter. Yeah. Sidor. Not Suter, Sidor. So, which I think, do we have any other news? I mean, it's kind of been a
pretty quiet week for.
You know, games with the news. That was about it, you know. Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, I guess nothing big on the injury.
Schrader.
Oh, how's he looking right now?
He's.
I think he's still out for another
couple weeks.
I said 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
So he maybe see him skating next week.
Not Schrader. I'm sorry. Graevac.
Graevac.
Graevac. Yeah. Yes. Yep. The groin or something.
Yep. Groin. Yep.
Graevac. Gabrick. Groin. Right.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. And we just saw Gabrick the other night, you know. Gabrick looks like he filled out some, though, now, you know. He's looking like he put on a little meat.
He's getting old. That happens when you get old.
Oh, believe me, I know that.
like Fattenkirk.
Fattenkirk, yeah. He's not that old, I don't think, though.
Oh, man, he got chubby, though.
He's old. Yeah.
Well, Bufflin's not that old, and he put on.
Yeah, but Fattenkirk just has a fat head.
Ah, that's true.
That's what she said.
I just wanted to go look at. I went to Google to search for his age, and I didn't even think about it, but I typed in Fattenkirk rather than his real name. He's 26, by the way. So, with that, we got some upcoming games.
Yeah, so we're not going to be here next week. So because of that, we've got...
We're taking an extended Halloween holiday.
Yeah.
But we'll be back the day after Halloween.
Yes, we will.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be high on candy dust and stuff. All the old people in my neighborhood will be giving me pennies and things like that.
None of us even have to dress up for it. We can just walk out and look normal.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
So with that, we've got a few more games than normal. What are we looking at? Thursday. Another few day break for the Wild.
Another big 3 day break, yeah.
Thursday, the Wild are at home against the Blue Jackets, and then the Ducks on Saturday here.
Yeah, bring the Ducks here.
Bring the Ducks here.
Whoop up on them.
Cut off their wings this time.
Yeah.
Then after Saturday, it's back to back against the Jets in Winnipeg. Home the following Tuesday against the Oilers and Blackhawks, and then on the road to the Blues on Halloween.
Spooky.
Ooh. So let's talk game of the week. So last week's game of the week was Wild at Ducks, which would be today's game. The only one who picked the Wild to win was Jive, and obviously that didn't happen. Both Kenny and I picked the Ducks. We didn't get the score right, so we both get a point. Meaning Kenny and I are tied for first, and Jive is in last. That means Jive picks the game of the week for this upcoming week.
I just wanted to be able to pick the game of the week. So I figured I'd give you guys this first week here.
All right.
But I got a tough one for you guys this time.
It's a pencil.
No.
Oh, wrong podcast.
Yep. we're going to see if the rapists, I mean the Blackhawks, at the Wild, I want to know what you guys think. Who's going to win that? Who's going to win that fight?
Well, I think the Wild are going to do it. Blackhawks aren't the team that they were last year. You know, hopefully we got some blood out for the therapist. Wait, that's a double th. That doesn't work. The rapist. I'm going to go with the Wild. 4 goals. I think it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. But, yeah, I'm going to say like a 3-1 game.
All right.
I think I gotta say I think Patrick Kane is gonna get lost going to the X. He's gonna get in a cab. There's gonna be a confusion about dimes and small change.
Now is he taking a cab or is he gonna Uber it?
This story doesn't work with Uber, so it's gotta be a cab. he gets confused and lost on route to the X. Ends up in jail.
And riding to the county with Sidor.
too soon. Anyway, he doesn't show up, and he doesn't show up on the ice in a both figurative and literal sense. And the Wild win, and it's a combined score of 5 goals. Jive, what do you think?
Well, I'm thinking right along the same lines as you guys. The Wild are coming home. They're going to win. They're going to take
You're thinking Arby's?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, do they offer curly fry promotion?
Is that still going on?
Those bastards.
That's all done now, huh? Cuz the Wild are winning too much.
Right, they're like, we're getting killed on these curly fries.
I thought that was just for a shootout though. I mean, they should be offering like a full meal these days. I mean, the chances of a shootout happening.
You know how expensive beef is today? Arby's is going broke up in here.
Is that real beef?
No.
Oh, man. Well, all right. So to finish out my call, I'm going to pick the Wild. I'm going to pick them to win in regulation, but... it's going to be a total of 7 goals. I think there'll be quite a bit of goal scoring going on. exactly. More in the Wild's favor, though. So, yeah, the Wild with total goals of 7. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to wrap this bad boy up. If you're all with that.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add. I don't add much anyways, so, you know.
I'm talked out personally, so. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Yes, I've got The Aaron. Kenny, how about you?
Yeah, I don't think I've really filled my about.me out, but it does have some links to my Twitter and Instagram, so you can at least see some photos and some tweets. About.me. KAHOS999. That's chaos with a KAHOS999.
Jive.
Way to make it easy. Just follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Thank you all. Have a good night.